You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Running away to the 15, to the 10, 5, diving in for the touchdown.
Good morning, Metroplex. We're live with the Monday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby. We got Pepe in the back along with Caitlin live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. The worst home loss of Jerry Jones's career. The disrespect with the nonstop trick plays. The sun once again rearing its sunny head. And all the Mike McCarthy questions after. We're here with you on DFW Sports Station.
The most disrespectful thing is Peyton opening with "Say something, I'm giving up on you." That's pretty emotional ballad there.
Very freeing.
Worst home loss since 1988 for the Cowboys. They become the first team since at least 2000 to trail by 14 or more in four consecutive games on their home field. The combined halftime deficit now at AT&T Stadium, going back to the Packers playoff game, is 110-35.
Is that good?
It's not good.
I don't think so.
The 167 points allowed by Dallas, the third most in a four-game home stretch in NFL history. That is where we're at. Bobby, how did it feel right there in the building?
They're just...
broken?
It was one of the worst performances I've ever seen, like, live. And I mean from either side. Like, every game I've ever been to where Dallas has, you know, beat the brakes off of somebody or Dallas has had a poor performance, this was the worst performance of any team that I've seen live. And they were completely manhandled. They were completely outclassed in terms of talent, it felt like. And they... You never want to accuse anybody directly of quitting, or you want to be very careful with that because it's such a taboo thing to accuse somebody of in those circles. But if I were to guess what quitting looks like, I would think it looks similar to some of what we saw yesterday. It was awful and just across the board. And it is your biggest stars that were out there on the field that are the most guilty, and your biggest names. It's Dak. It's Diggs. It's Mike McCarthy, it's Mike Zimmer, it was brutal. Zach Martin was terrible yesterday. That's about as bad a game as he's probably ever played in his career.
This felt like a bowl game, like where one team has something to play for and the other team doesn't. Like there was two teams playing there. One team was playing a regular season game, one team was playing a Super Bowl. And the Lions, like, you could tell they came into this game. They had
from the first play with the offensive lineman check in on a run.
They had motivation, obviously. You knew they were going to be more motivated to win this game because of the last year than the Cowboys were. It was just the nature of it. It's human nature. Cowboys would have done the same thing if it was the reverse, and they wouldn't have done it this way because they're not as good.
Yeah.
And then they're not coached as well. But there was a talent disparity on the field that was evident. Now, how much of that was because, you know, the Cowboys are without, you know, a couple of their better defense, three best defensive players, or three of their four best. And then, you know, there was obviously like Detroit is just on a different level from their coaching staff as a whole. And then the desire, like, you could tell that Detroit wanted to make a statement.
They came in with that FU Belichick energy.
They did.
The Spygate tour.
Yep.
That the Patriots were on, where they're like, we're going to try to score 60 on everyone.
Yeah. And I mean, they should have been. I mean, you could make an easy case that they should be 5-0 or undefeated, because they lost the Tampa game where they probably should have won that game. They're a really solid team. There's no shame in losing a game to Detroit. There's a shame in losing a game where it looks like you didn't show up and you quit. That's shameful.
How do we judge the quitting versus
47-9? That's how you judge the quitting. 47-9
versus really bad personnel. Guys not within 5 yards of receivers, broken tackles.
When Tom Brady is watching a replay back of Trayvon Diggs and run support, and he says, "Do you even want to tackle him?"
Yeah.
That that looks bad. And I mean, this was Cooper Rush throws that third interception of the game in the fourth quarter. And then they just, when they pan over to McCarthy and he's just kind of staring blankly and he goes, wow. And that's all he can say.
Are you embarrassed?
There was somebody hit Jerry postgame with the, are you embarrassed? And he didn't react angrily because I think he probably was. I think he was pretty embarrassed.
Did you even go into the locker room? What was it like afterwards?
No, I didn't step foot in the locker. I stood out front with Jerry for the entire 20 minutes he was out there. And then when the 20 minutes was up, everybody had ducked out of the locker. It's the first time I've ever seen players step out of the locker, see a group of media there, and immediately like go back in. Like, I got to find another way out of here. And it was like three different guys doing it. And so they were not about it. They didn't want to stand up there in front of us very long. They wanted to get the hell out of there. And they didn't even show up. So I don't know what they needed to get the hell out for, because they weren't even there, it felt like, for most of that game. They completely quit.
Why does the number 5 jump out for this one before we get to star down?
5-0 is what it was yesterday. Turnovers, Dallas had 5, Detroit had 0. Touchdowns, Detroit had 5, Dallas had 0. First half possessions with a lead, Detroit had 5, Dallas had 0. Second half possessions while trailing, Dallas had 5, Detroit had 0. 20-plus yard plays in the second half, Detroit had 5, Dallas had 0. And Detroit didn't even, I don't think they even punted in this game.
They didn't. They showed a graphic late in the fourth. I don't remember if they did after that. I don't think they did.
9 straight scoring drives on Zimmer's D.
That's solid.
9.
It's really bad. And you're talking about thin margins, a fourth down catch from Jalen Tolbert, and some narrow plays in the Giants from this being a one win football team right now. And it's your one win being a Cleveland team that Nick Sirianni acts like a psycho when they scrape by against and stuff. But this is a bad football team. Like they're bad, and I think they know they're bad. And what you're starting to see right now, I think this is the initial seeds of what we had talked about leading into the year, which is, if things go sideways, because nobody has, or there are a number of people here who don't have any sort of permanent future here with their contract statuses, you're going to start seeing people look into the door. And what's my next thing? What's my next move? Where am I going next? Because it's not going to be here.
Did you run down your list of 5?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
When did you stop taking notes of this game?
Probably like right before Cooper Rush came in. I think we all looked at the clock and we're like, how's there 13 minutes left? I'm like, this is going to bleed over to Sunday Night Football.
I thought the clock, has there a whole half left? Are you kidding me?
I don't know how they come out on that first drive. Dallas gets the ball and they're doing something different. They're coming out, they're doing tempo. They're snapping the ball within like 15, 20 seconds each time. They're moving the ball effectively on that first drive. And I would have never believed that they were going to come out after that and just completely S the bed. I mean, they got a ton of man coverage in this game, which is something that CD typically has crushed, something that Dak has had a lot of success with. The numbers from NFL Pro on what the Cowboys did in man coverage in this game was absolutely absurd. Dak Prescott completed his first 3 passes against man coverage. After that, he was 2 for his next 14 for 31 yards and 2 interceptions.
Whoa. Woof.
Just awful.
Look, we all knew that none of us got fooled by the Giants and Steeler games. That was just some nice padding. It was a pretty nice win on the road with Pittsburgh because they're tough and they're difficult and a pain in the rear end. But none of us got fooled by the end of the Baltimore game with that comeback. And you just wait for a high-quality football team to come in here, or you go there and you get handled. That's the book on this team. We all know it. We saw it yesterday, and Jerry Jones was asked all the questions afterwards. Have you considered a change now at head coach?
Oh, I haven't even considered that. I'm not considering that. Just so you're clear, I'm not considering that.
But you've done it once before.
I wouldn't be a hypothetical in that matter. Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you? Okay, well, I'm not going to hypothetical with you about when I'd consider coaching change in light of the timing we're sitting here with. I'm not at all.
So I never know with them how to judge and separate the egg from the yolk with being emphatic, showing support for your guys, and irritation over the situation. Jerry was not just taking his lumps last night in the post. He was a little bit irritated. Save that drop, do you think I'm an idiot, as the collective Metroplex at 6.09 a.m. Central Time all said the same thing at once. But did he also say, I'm not considering, but I'm not going to tell you if I was considering?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, basically. He essentially, earlier in the press availability, he was asked about changes that he was going to make, or would he evaluate coaching stuff, and he basically was like, I'm not getting into any of that with y'all. I'm not going to tell y'all. And so, and then he comes back and tries to say something emphatic, and it's like, okay, well, I also remember a time, and not saying we're close, I don't think we're close like we were then, but it was what? 5 days before Wade Phillips was fired, he came on this station and said, I'm not fired. Like, that's not on the table. That's not happening. And then he fired him.
My wife last night, I thought she was going to sleep and going down for the evening. And she pops her head out of the covers and goes, is McCarthy really that bad? And I was like, you're supposed to be asleep. Why are you asking me this out of the blue? And she said, I'm looking at my phone. I'm looking at your poll question that you have up. And she goes, is McCarthy really this terrible? And I said, well, the football team, I'm going to start there, is not good enough. Mike McCarthy, though, is not good enough to overcome it. I still look at the personnel. I blame it on Jerry Jones first. This, for me, turned into a battle of fans and media versus the front office this entire offseason. From the all-in misinterpretation, we all don't know what that term means, to what they decided to do at running back, to a sit-down with Stephen A. Smith saying, I really don't understand why the fans don't think we're going to be really, really, really good again. This whole thing has felt like a battle between the two sides that right now we and the Tolo fans are winning 47-9. And that makes me petty and vengeful. And that's why last night I tweeted, hey man, y'all, it's not the worst thing. If you believe that in the offseason, this team didn't do anything and they weren't going to be good enough, and you don't believe they're going to make some type of run in the playoffs, let's not have a Baltimore 2.0 here and come back. And I still look at that Baltimore score when I go back and do research, and I'm like, 28-25? What happened there? Root for it to get worse. Root for the beatdown. And I was texting y'all, just let them pour it on. So there's no doubt left. And it happens on Jerry Jones' 82nd birthday to make them sit in it while getting booed in Arlington and make them sit in it for the bye week.
Well, that's the thing. The bye week is the one that stings the most, because like the quarterback got booed. The head coach got booed. The owner got booed. The general manager got booed. They all did. The entire franchise was getting booed in that game, and they all have to just sit there and hear that for 2 weeks. Now they won't hear it. They'll convince themselves that it was something else.
Injuries.
They weren't even booing. They were saying Luke Schoonmaker. That's what they were saying. Right. They were just clamoring for him in the game.
It was a lying like call. What they do in the night.
That's right. Exactly what it was. It was Detroit. They were just chanting Jared Goff. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to hear that. Could you imagine being the quarterback of a football team and having to hear somebody else is quarterback, some the other team's quarterback name get chanted in your stadium?
I'm just being honest with it, man. I was happy it got ugly after it was evident they weren't going to win. I was happy it got uglier and uglier and more embarrassing, because a big change needs to happen around here. And this is a discussion for another segment and later on. Bobby's big concern, and a lot of people's concern, is if you bring someone in like Bill Belichick, which Jordan Schultz reignited last night, NFL reporter has been on the show, and you're like, we're going to have to take a couple steps back to break this down for the way Bill wants to build it back up. I think we are at that point where a breakdown has to happen and needs to take place. So I'm more fine with that. Whereas before, I'm like, I don't want to lose Will McClay, and I don't want to lose some of the people who are getting 12 win seasons out of this group, and it just strictly being draft picks. I think we're at the point now where that breakdown is pretty obvious.
AT&T Stadium has been open for, this is its 16th season.
What direction does it face?
I don't know.
Well, it depends on which side you're on.
Boy, there's nothing.
East or west, we don't know.
There's nothing worse.
I know what direction it faces, and it's not the one.
Seems to always face into the sun, no matter what time of year it is.
So in the 15, 16 years it's been open, the first 112 games, that were played at that stadium, the Cowboys allowed 44 points two times. And in the last four, they've done it three times. They are currently in the midst of the greatest home field collapse this organization has seen in 65 years of existence.
Which none of us saw coming. After last year, they were invincible. Phone calls today, text messages today, and Peyton, I want to refire up the Odyssey app for message recordings.
Yeah, Tolo's a super easy look. You just go to the Odyssey app, click on 105.3 The Fan, then you'll see a little microphone icon. Just click that right in the middle of your screen. You can record up to 60 seconds of content for us. Leave your name, where you're from, and then we'll replay it on the show.
All right. Star Down is next. Brought to you by Crown Royal, the official whiskey of the NFL, and what you may need.
I got a lot of star ups, actually.
You do?
Yeah, I do. You'd be stunned how many I have.
RJ Choppy with some star ups. We get your star downs next on 105.3 The Fan.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Snap to Prescott, third down, looking left. Fade, left side of the end zone, intercepted. In the back of the end zone by Brian Branch.
Brad Sham with the call here on the radio station in which you heard the fourth straight ass whooping that took place in Arlington. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Tree, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. It is time for Star Down, Star Down, brought to you by Crown Royal, the official whiskey of the NFL. Even though you have me intrigued.
Yeah.
You do have me intrigued. Right. I'm trying to decide whether to take the bait and fall for it first in going to you for some startups.
Listen, you know, you guys are coming here all negative on a 47-9 Monday, and I'm just here to lighten the mood a little bit. That's what I do best. Star up to the Cowboys front office. Okay, this is a great day for them. You think that when you lose 47-9, it's a bad? No, it's a great day because they got to see firsthand what a unique and updated offense looks like. Okay, this was like...
People were superimposing the Dallas hat on Ben Johnson's head yesterday.
Yeah. This was like, you know how like in work you have like a continuing education course? You know, you got to go learn the new things about the industry. Well, the Cowboys don't do that. This was that. And the best part, 100,000 people paid them to go. So, I mean, you've got to put this in the win column. That's solid. They got to see continuing education. They got to see modern offenses.
I like this.
All right. That's number one.
Yeah.
All right.
A lot of people are saying, well, here's the question. Did Jerry Jones go anywhere? And normally I'm with you. Let people have their personal lives. This would be horrific optics if we get Jerry Jones at Albernaz and like a private room, or we find out he goes and parties it up there with Tom Brady and... who's the halftime show? Lainey Wilson. And he's sitting there drinking Johnny Walker Blues and red wine after this destruction. That, in this instance, in my opinion, would be bad optics. Did Jerry just go and eat some duck and peas at his house with his golden chandeliers? Or did he go out and about for the Pittsburgh...
Lesore peas, right?
Lesore peas. Or did he go out and about for a Pittsburgh rare steak?
He looked genuinely angry last night.
Good.
It was
now a lot of people followed up kind of what you said from Star Down. They're like, Jerry Jones has his Ford commercial running and people pack the house to see this and they'll be the number one story on First Take. Check, check, check. That is what he cares about. What Mike Bassick has been saying for years.
Yeah, that's not this instance. Cause last night it was equal parts like disappointment.
Shock he said afterwards, this is not shocking.
I think he's shocked about the offense. I think he doesn't think there's any legitimate reason why they should have put up 9 points. And I agree, there's not.
What brought us really harped on to start off the postgame show when I was driving in. He like put the defense to the side and he talked about the play caller and he talked about Dak CD and he talked about the offense.
Jerry gave a somewhat of a pass in the postgame to the defense. It wasn't a full pass. Like, it was obviously, we can't be like that. But it is, the reality is you're missing four of your top five defensive players in this game, and then there were like two to three other depth pieces that weren't playing.
And you had all the guys that you lost depth-wise in the offseason.
And you're out, even when those guys are there, you're not a very good defense.
Yeah, like, did the Saints game happen?
Yeah.
The Ravens game happen?
So those things are already there. So Jerry, I think, kind of was like, a bunch of people are hurt over there, and we've struggled over there to begin with, and Detroit's going to stresses. So he kind of dismissed that. But Jerry focused in on offense can't be like that. Like, we can't just score 9 points. And so I think that's what was shocking to him and was kind of left him a little stunned, was how did that happen? And then the other part of it was there was anger. So it was disappointment, anger, and surprise, I think, across the board.
No Bland, no Kendricks. I think Damone Clark had the green dot, and Tyler Smith starting at left tackle instead of Tyler Guyton. Back to you.
Okay, great. Start to Cowboy fans for selling your tickets to the Lion fans. This was great, okay? Our good friend Jason Newman was there, said 60% Lion fans.
Bob, over 50?
No.
I thought it was a little high.
There were too many boos for there to be 60% Lion fans.
New Orleans, honestly, New Orleans.
I know I saw the Lion fans who did the gritty over that poor girl puking, this girl puking over the alcohol and the Cowboys' performance, and you got an older Lions fan and then a younger Lions fan going by her with the gritty.
Maybe he meant 60% of the noise.
New Orleans and Baltimore felt like bigger road crowds to me than yesterday. But also, I mean, maybe difficult to tell because they both were blue.
What percent would you say? Detroit.
25.
25?
Okay. But still, I love it, all right? It shows that they're sick of this, right? When you start selling your tickets, it shows that you're sick of this. So that's good. And you know what? I actually do have a real legitimate non-sarcastic star up.
Can't be Brandon Aubrey. That's cheating.
No. Star up to going for it on 4th and 2 from your own territory with 2 minutes to go in the first half.
Oh, I had desperation marked next to that.
That is desperation. There's no doubt about that. They knew if they gave the ball back to Detroit, they were going to score again, which, in a related story, they did.
Yeah.
But
and a star up for Detroit running on 3rd and 13, that run of the left side. I was like, thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate that.
But, yeah, it was.
These are good, Chop. I like them.
All right. Thank you so much. But, yeah, from your own 37. You knew you were going to lose that game. It was at that point, we have no chance. We know we need to. We have to pick up this first
down. Which begs the question, were you flipping out when they kicked the field goal at the end of the half? What was that situation there? They just gone for, I think it would have been 4th and 12. There was a 4th and 12 in the game, and I think they just decided for a field goal attempt.
When the, you mean after the Turpin run back right before the half where they did? Star up to the Kevontae Turpin fake. That was awesome looking. That was
which
cool
one?
For about 2 seconds. The first
That's
one.
All we did. We ran four of the same fake with Turpin while Ben Johnson is running four different trick plays.
Yeah, we needed the gadget plays just to pick up any yardage. They just did them to flex on us.
4th and 9.
Penei Sewell, I've never seen an offensive lineman dive like that for like, dear God, please get to the goal line here. I got to score on this play.
Shannon Sharp said that. He goes, we're running hook and laterals. The lineman now, I've never seen that.
4th and 9 with 8 seconds to go. I think they were, the only thing I could think of is you're just trying to make it a 3-score game from a 4.
Okay. All right. So there it is. RJ Choppy with the star ups, brought to you by Crown Royal, the official whiskey of the NFL.
We already put it in historic context for the Cowboys, what this run has been like at home for them. But I had to go back and look. Green Bay, when they put up 48 against you on the road, that's the most points they've ever put up in a road game in the Super Bowl era. Yesterday was the most points the Lions have put up in a road game in the Super Bowl era, and it was the most points that the Saints have put up in a road game in the last decade. So that goes to show you, it's not just historic for you, it's also historic for all these other teams. They're having like all-time great road performances against you.
Let's get to your star downs.
Okay, Dak Prescott, you're a star down. He was awful in this game.
I thought, and I'm proud of you for admitting he was awful and bad. I thought you gave him a little bit of a pass for that interception.
Which one?
No, see, that's what somebody else tried to claim too. No, what I had said was
the first one.
It's a great play by Branch. It objectively was a great play by him.
Are you talking about the one in the end zone?
The first one.
Yeah, it was a really good play.
It's a great
by
play
him.
By Branch. But I also said, I think Dak saw him, and Dak said post game he saw him.
All right.
And I just said, I don't think he reasonably thought he could get there. So it's a bad read. Like, that is a bad read. That's a bad play from Dak and a great play from Branch.
Also, if you look at the footwork, and Brady brought this up, but he just said, like, he didn't put anything on the ball. He just kind of fluttered it out there.
And Tom didn't think he saw him.
Yeah, but if you look at his front foot,
Tom was wrong.
You know, the plant leg, he kind of opens up. He, you know, and Dak has that kind of open gate when he walks anyway. But he opens that leg up, and that's just from a baseball perspective, don't get anything on the ball.
Dak said, Dak postgame, when he talked about it, said what he probably could have done was he said, I should have held my eyes to the flat for like a half second longer. He said, if I do that, then he doesn't have time to get back there. He's like, that's probably the adjustment I make. But 7 turnovers in 6 games. He didn't hit 7 turnovers till his 13th game last year. And the year he led the league in interceptions, playing 12 games where everybody was like, oh my gosh, he's a turnover machine, he had 6 turnovers in his first 6 games. So he's at a higher turnover rate right now than he was the year he led the league in interceptions.
And that was their 4th red zone turnover. That is the most in the NFL. His 3rd red zone turnover in his last 2 games with 2 picks and a fumble. And it just makes their red zone woes even worse. They came in ranked 22nd. 22nd in the NFL in terms of red zone. Dak finished with the 2nd worst passer rating of his career, a 42.2. A 42.2. More miscommunication with CeeDee Lamb. Don't dare ask him about it. Mm-mm. Don't dare ask either one about it. I don't know how in the heck. It's like when me and Amanda watch reality shows and they're like, oh, I didn't realize that like your religion was so strict. Oh, you don't eat meat? Like you don't have these conversations for a year or two while you're dating this person? Like how are you still having these arguments and miscommunications? How are Dak and CD still going through some of this stuff? It seems to be a weekly occurrence.
I mean, is it the training camp time?
I don't know.
Like, honestly, because I mean they were so in sync last year. So I mean that's legitimately the only thing I can think is the training camp time mattered more than I initially thought. Trayvon Diggs, shut down PFF if they give him anything above a 0.0 grade. That's going to be my
test.
It will
be above.
Down the website because that was awful play coupled with awful effort. Like, he looked like he wanted to be anywhere else other than the football field yesterday.
Wow.
Just zero interest being out there. He was, to me, those were the two blinking lights in this game from a player perspective.
The number of Tolos that pointed out his tackling, the Olays, and then he got cooked by Williams for 37. There's a couple other times. He just doesn't look fast enough.
Couldn't get the jam. Like, he just missed the jam and let him run right by him on the touchdown.
I think his tape is the epitome of this football game. He was the worst one. I think he's the biggest star down of anybody from an individual player perspective.
You're right. He's representative of what the game was because it was awful play, and it was just so low energy and such low effort. And to that point, Mike Zimmer star down. I know you're missing missing your best players or whatever else, but like this is a complete failure of leadership if nobody on that defense seems to be like fearful of repercussions or anything else that they're willing to go out there
because Trey's effort.
Like, I mean, Diggs or anybody, like, did that look like a team that's really worried about busting their assignments or anything? It looks very Mike Nolan-ish. And they weren't afraid of Mike Nolan or have a healthy respect for Mike Nolan.
And the tackling. Donovan Wilson, I wrote down. Malik Hooker, I wrote down. These were just individual plays. Everyone was bad tackling. Montgomery had a run midway through the 3rd quarter. That was the play to me that epitomized everything.
Oh, so embarrassing. Like, he had 2 of them. The first touchdown run where he broke like 7 tackles. Oh. I thought he snapped his ankle on that play.
No, that was Hutchinson.
And then that one you mentioned. Like, the first drive, you come out of halftime, and not the first offensive drive, the first defensive drive. You come out of halftime, you're getting destroyed. You think you would have a little fight? No, but Detroit just marches down the field.
Yes,
not a blip of any kind of resistance from the defense. It was just embarrassing.
All right, the Tolos are fired up. I can see it on the YouTube, the fan cam, and the Twitch. And Peyton said there was over 2,000 watching last night in the post game. And I know you want to get it off your chest, so let's open it up to calls on the fan. There's a reason why we're named that. Time for you to unleash your star downs. You want to throw in any sarcastic star ups and what will and should happen to Mike McCarthy? 877-881-1053. Hit us up now. 877-881-1053. Your Cowboy phone calls are next.
Prescott throws underneath here to the 40-yard line.
A fumble.
And the ball is fumbled by Ryan Flannoy. Is that his first catch? That's his first NFL catch? Yeah, he made the catch. Branch reached in and Peanut punched it out. And then Terrion Arnold recovered.
How many microcosms yesterday? CeeDee Lamb. Look at Matt Mosley.
Mosley. How Jerry.
Mosley on TV behind.
Look, there's Jerry. A squint. There's a squint.
Mosley on TV behind Jerry.
He's like, where are my sunglasses?
What's going on here?
I had a squirrel moment. I just could. I love Mosley. Whenever I see him, I have to stop down. All right. It's like he's looking into the sun.
He's a caricature. I love it. He's like, he's become himself.
It's like he's looking in the sun. All the different microcosms yesterday. CeeDee Lamb looking into the camera. The sun issues, again, that Jerry Jones will get furious about with us tomorrow live at 8:30. Introducing the halftime act while you're getting stomped. They go down to Aaron Andrews, and I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. And again, you have this pre-time, right? No one's making the call. Let's see how the first half goes. And Lainey Wilson announces she's going to be performing live at Thanksgiving. And I was like, that right there is so perfect, Cowboys. You're getting killed. But hey, who's the next performer coming out for the circus? That was perfect.
Nero. Man. Nero.
Yeah, Nero fiddles.
Yeah, that's Rome's what it burning. Is. Nero fiddles as Rome's burning.
That's exactly what it is. Now, you did get some positive, though. It wasn't all just classic. Like, Sean, I know you were a big fan yesterday. Mozzie Smith, great body language, really engaged. You know, he looked like Matt Mosley, like just looking up at the sky with some of the photos you were sending in the text.
877-881-1053. Peyton said the Odyssey app is fired up with messages. We will get to that at 7 o'clock here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. And before we run through Tolo phone calls, you were telling us, coming off a bye week, that was going to be good for us, Detroit, yeah, coming off a bye.
Yeah, you know, that historically, that is. And, you know, I got this note sent to me this morning by Bo from the Football 401k. And he said, since 2018, road favorites off a bye. So, Detroit was a road favorite coming off their bye week, playing a team heading into their bye week, Cowboys. So those road favorites were 0-5 since 2018. They had never won a game against it. Well, they never covered the spread.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Detroit was the favorite. So now they're 1-5. Since 2012, they're 2-12. They're now 3-12 since 2012.
Man.
Another one. Dak as an underdog in his last 11 games is now 2-9. And when you don't cover the spread as an underdog, exclusive, you lost the game.
He's been an underdog his whole career.
And overall, 19-33 against the spread versus teams with winning records. That ranks, out of 266 quarterbacks since 03, that ranks him 263. 263 out of 266.
Oh, gosh. A Goff off a bye against the spread is now 8-2. They play pretty well, at least he does, in his, I guess, 10 years now of a career.
All right, let's get to the Tolos and let you unleash on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line and the phone. Zach in Grand Prairie, you are up first.
What's going on, fellas? Listen, Cowboy fan my whole life. First time going into a season that I've felt pretty apathetic, just down, and still yesterday, I would have never guessed the lows of lows that we felt yesterday. This team, you know, Jerry Jones, he insults us with his, you know, his interviews year after year, night after, you know, day after day. And he tells us about, you know, he's doing his best and, you know, he cares about winning and all this stuff. But he doesn't do anything to help this team in any way as far as putting the product on the field. I went through the Quincy Carter's, the Testaverde's, you know, Romo. Look, Romo had his faults. I get it. I understand the argument with Romo. But, gosh, man, Dak is not the guy. Dak is not the guy. $60 million, man. $60 million for the product we see yesterday. That's incredible. I know that the question is always, well, you know, what else do you want? What else is out there? Hey, man, sometimes let's rebuild. You know, it's okay. Let's go through the dog year or two. And come back up, because this is, I'd much rather have that than what I saw yesterday.
Yeah.
And one more message to the fans who still are out there supporting and cheering and thinking yesterday was an anomaly of some sort. Think yesterday was, hey, you know, just one game, like feeding into Jerry's stuff. Dude, this is them. You know, even without even Michael was there, even with a full squad, there's no leaders. There's no guts. You know, they don't care. They don't care. They care more about, you know, the friends in the division or their podcast or, you know, Trayvon's effort yesterday. Oh, my gosh, dude. This is – it's getting ridiculous. And at this point, why even care?
Thank you for the call, Zach. Dak said there's a lot of looking in the mirror. A lot of Cowboys were talking about looking in the mirror. Dak pointed to a similar start in 2018. The difference there when they turned things around was the trade for Amari. He was asked, Nick Harris tweeted this out, do you need a similar move? He said it's in the hands of the front office. Travis in Fort Worth, you are up next. Travis, you are live on the D&M Leasing Hotline.
What's up, fellas? What's biggest up? Star down of the year, probably of the last 5 years, goes to the one and only Bobby Belt for convincing himself and all the other delusional Cowboy fans that Dak Prescott is the quarterback of the future for this team. $60 million. You see what he did yesterday. You see what he's done in every other big game in his career, which is nothing. And you want to pay him $60 million. Star up, though, to Jerry Jones for being 1 year closer to getting the Cowboys a new GM. Thanks, boys.
Bye, Travis. Thank you. Dak Prescott reaction, Roberto, because now...
I mean, Dak wasn't good yesterday. Dak hasn't been good a lot early on this year. But, I mean, again, like, we're at a point now where it's... A, objectively, what he just said is not accurate, that he hasn't, like, oh, no big game. All right, well, he won you the first road playoff game in 30 years against the greatest quarterback of all time, and he did it with the greatest arguable performance that a Cowboys quarterback has had in a playoff game. So, like, that's just factually not true. But, yeah, he's not been good this year. It's been bad. And he's right now, it looks like there's not really a way to salvage it. But he's also locked in for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
So deal with it.
Right.
I'm sorry.
That's the thing. Like, you know...
I'm not getting worked up anymore. There's nothing more for me to debate. He's here. He's here for the next 4 years. I'm happy.
You can't.
You'll get worked up eventually.
Like, you could say he's not the guy, but he is, because there's no getting out of this. He's got 195. If you want to cut him today, it's $195 million dead cap.
Tomorrow,
if you want to cut him in the offseason, it's $150 million. Like, there's no getting around it.
I got a segment for all this tomorrow. We're gonna do an offseason redo. I'm building the Doc DeLorean time machine. And we're going to go
Brown, baby.
We're going to go back in the time machine and redo the offseason if you want. Ivan in Dallas. Ivan, you're up next here on 105 Through the Fan.
Yeah, going into this game, I already knew the Lions were going to win, but the question was how much were they going to win by?
Yeah.
And I don't think me or anybody else would have guessed by 30 plus. And first of all, it is pretty frustrating to hear Jerry Jones say that this is a shocker. Like, really, like, what is there to be shocked about? You're the one that built this team, well, honestly did nothing for this team in the offseason, and I don't see him doing anything for this team in the future at all. And it's just, it is really sad. And first of all, for any Dallas Cowboys fan that got fooled by this Cowboys defense looking good, you got to realize this Cowboys defense looked good against the Browns, the Giants, and the Steelers,
yeah,
who are all bottom 10 offenses in the NFL. And just wait till the Texans or Houston, to the Texans or Eagles come into town. They really are going to put up probably 30 plus against the Cowboys.
Well, you know who's up next, right?
Who is up next?
Off.
The Boogeyman.
Off is next.
The Boogeyman is up next. The San Francisco 49ers. Did you find an early spread for that?
I saw 5, but you can't bet it right now. At least I can't bet it right now. I tried. I tried to bet San Fran.
Look, I didn't know.
But I can't bet it yet.
5 or 5 touchdowns?
It said 5, but that's the open line. Like, that's the line from, like, you know.
Look, I didn't know. No one knew it was going to be 47-9, but there's nothing about this that is stunning or shocking. The formula is there. Get up early on them. Watch them fold up. And then if you're a good football team and you want to keep the gas down, you can embarrass. We have the Ravens game. We have the Saints game. We have the Packers game as evidence. We have all the San Francisco games. Nothing about it is shocking or stunning. Brandon and Granbury. Brandon, you're next up here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Go ahead, boss.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning. Lifelong Cowboys fan, longtime solo. Just kind of wanted to touch up on what everyone else was saying. Just you know, the morale out there is down. You know, you're going into a game against a team that's, you know, on paper much better than you. And, yeah, you're expected to lose, but just a shocker that there was just no more effort, no more energy. They had Dak's number on the blitz, and they did not do anything to switch that up to try to give him an advantage on knowing what they were going to do ahead of time. And it just, they had our number the whole time. And on the defense was terrible. You know, Diggs obviously not there, you know, throwing the ball, you know, guys having wide open opportunities, suns in their eyes, just kind of everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
Yeah. And thank you for the call. But again, I keep hearing stunning, shocking. It's not. Maybe I'm just to a further along point than some fans in terms of like the anger not being there. And my wife says it to me every week. Why aren't you ticked? Why aren't you depressed? It's like you're still talking to us at 7 p.m. You used to not talk to us until Wednesday, because that's how long it would take for me to get over the bitterness and worried about people listening or tuning out. I'm not there, man. I am at peace. I'm at peace because the only way, look, Jerry Jones is not going to ever give up the role, okay? But the only way to get a culture shock, which is what they need, is for it to get bad enough to change things out. That is what my hope is. When they brought Mike back, that was just, and this is nothing like, I don't know if you can make this statement and have it be possible. I'm not trying to get personal against Mike, but when they announced that Mike was back, that sucked any hope out of the Metroplex of anything changing to the point of getting them past where they're always eliminated, because you knew they weren't going to do anything in the offseason. And this has to be, get to such a meltdown. This has to be so bad and so embarrassing that Jerry's left without a choice, because he's going to do everything possible, in my opinion, everything possible to hold on to Mike as long as he can. Number one, well, I don't know the particular order. One of the reasons is I think he's frugal with paying out salaries. He's not going to pay someone not to work. And he doesn't want to hire Bill Belichick to come in here and be the final answer, because Belichick will get the credit. He wants one. McCarthy was perfect in that, yeah, he won a Super Bowl, but no one thinks he's like this genius, so I can still get enough credit if we go ahead and win and get over the hump. It was part of the reason for the Garrett hire. He lost that factor with Parcells. He would lose it with Belichick. It has to get so bad and so ugly, he's left without choice.
I'm curious, because I know we're tied up against here, but like, just yes or no, I guess, for you, because you didn't think it was possible Mike was getting fired after last night's performance. Could things get bad enough in the San Francisco game that you would think that he could potentially lose his job after that game?
I don't know. We have 2 weeks to talk about it. 877-881-1053. We didn't even get any Mike McCarthy takes there from the Tolos. That was game reaction. What should and what will happen with Mike McCarthy? We will fire off the messages from the Odyssey app and keep the Cowboy calls coming next.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.